Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Well, many have thought that Josh Giddey taking the qualifying offer could be the nuclear option for Josh Giddey. Sam Vecenie over at Game Theory floats out an interesting option that Josh Giddey has that is rarely used in the NBA. We're going to talk a little bit about that, plus why the growth of Io and Kobe White this season is almost just as important as the growth of any other player. And we're finally going to talk about Billy Donovan and what he needs to do as a coach heading into next season. We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. I want to start off talking about this. Sam Vecenie over at the Game Theory Podcast, shout out to them, go over there and check them out. Folded out this scenario that not many people are talking about because it rarely happens in the NBA. So I'm not calling out anybody for not talking about it. Hell, I didn't even think about it. That's how rare it happens in the NBA. And Sam Vecenie threw out the fact that Josh Giddey could just hold out on the Chicago Bulls. While many people look at that deadline to sign the qualifying offer that's October 1st as being the time where this Bulls team needs to figure something out with Josh Giddey, he could completely just hold out, which has happened in different scenarios before, and it's happened about four times in the NBA. One, it's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons did that prior to the 21-22 season, where he did end up holding out after requesting a trade from the Philadelphia 76ers, though he ended up holding out because of his mental health issues, which he eventually was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. And then after that, he did reach a settlement with the Sixers where he did receive credit and he still got a payment for the period of time that he was held out. He did not get paid. That's the thing in this. If Josh Giddey were to hold out on the Chicago Bulls, it would mean that he isn't getting paid during that holdout period. Now, you know, even when he does sign a contract, let's say he holds out the first month of the season, when he does sign a contract, he technically, unless the Bulls just go ahead and give it to him, would have to reach a settlement and go through arbitration to get that portion of the money, which he wasn't there for. Now, Ben Simmons' situation was a little bit different. He wasn't a free agent. He just didn't want to play for the 76ers anymore, so that's a little bit different. James Harden as well, who wanted a trade from the 76ers. This just happened in 2023-24. He declined a contract extension and refused to report to training camp at all until that situation was settled. And it did differ from a little bit from Ben Simmons in the fact that Simmons was in the middle of a contract, whereas James Harden was in the final year of his deal. He did eventually end up getting traded. He signed a contract extension with the Clippers after getting traded there. But James Harden did hold out as well. Now, Steve Francis, he also held out, but he held out as a draft pick. At the 99 NBA draft, he refused to play for the Vancouver Grizzlies and held out until he got moved to another team. And then the last one was Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard held out because he wanted to secure a long contract, a large deal, and ultimately he got a over $100 million deal, which was huge at the time of getting that type of deal. So Juwan Howard himself also held out. So listen, it's a lot of different aspects that goes out. It's not the same as the NFL where players can hold out in the middle of their deal. They can hold out in the last year of their deal. They can do a lot of things to hold out. But if you do hold out for the NBA, for example, you are fined for each game that you miss. Now you can file a grievance to recover any lost salary once the holdout is over, but it's a little bit different in that sense, right? So that's the thing that you have to do. The CBA also has a clause that can affect players in their contract who hold out, which restricts their ability to become a free agent later down the road or sign outside of the NBA, things like that. So the holdouts have consequences. But just the fact that that option is there. Now, I've talked several times before, like Josh Giddey's agent, it's not one of those agents that has a widespread large impact across NBA. I think Dyson Daniels and Josh Giddey may be his only NBA clients. Somebody fact check me on that one. But he's not like this huge experience or powerful agent to really hold things over players, over franchises' heads. I've said before, a lot of times you see agents and teams not want to kind of mess up that relationship, because what about when that agent has that agent has to do a contract with a team on a different player or negotiate with a different player? Like those grudges hold true in there. But if Josh Giddey were to hold out, it would be one of the more interesting scenarios that happen. Now, holdouts happen throughout all the sports. It's just rare in the NBA based off how the CBA is in the NBA. We've talked a lot about, like, in a lot of ways, kind of the NBA has, the teams have a lot more control than what in some of the other leagues, even restricted free agency, right? Like the fact that we're going through this restricted free agency where teams have this amount of power to completely hold up a player, stuff like that. So, you know, and for example, like, of course, the NBA has franchise, I mean, the NFL has franchise tags and things like that. And while we're in this area of the new CBA and the second tax apron, I would not be surprised if some type of tag eventually becomes a thing. I don't think it's going to be something anytime soon, but I just would not be surprised if somewhere down the line it becomes a thing in this CBA. But to get back on the topic of Josh Giddey, the Bulls have never really dealt with a situation like that. I think maybe the closest thing to that may be the Lauri Markkanen situation, which wasn't even, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they made the decision to eventually move on from Lauri. They traded him to Cleveland in a sign and trade scenario. It was there. Bobby Portis, another player that did not sign his initial contract that the Bulls offered. They eventually just move him after that. It takes him a few years to get that same level of contract after, you know, winning a championship with the team. So there's that part of it. It would be it's part of me in the chaos mindset of me, right? The problematic mindset that I have sometimes would just want to see how the front office would deal with this. This Bulls front office already doesn't deal with adversity the best ways, right? And so to have a player that is so committed to what they feel their value is that they're willing to hold out on training camp, it would be interesting to see how they handle that. Because, you know, while AK and Eversley have said the right things, that they see Josh Giddey as a foundational piece that they don't want to pay, you know, those type of things have been there and they've said the right things. I wonder what a, you know, training camp opening and press day and all that type of thing, what that would look like if you have this contract hold out from Josh Giddey. How would they talk about that point at that point? Because they've talked a lot about having players in their building is important. Having players report to them is important. If they don't have those things, just part of me is just really interested to see how they would handle that at that point in time. Again, chaos theory. It is what it is. More than likely, everything's going to work out and we don't reach the point of Josh Giddey getting a holdout. But I'd be lying if I didn't say just part of me is just interested in just what that would look like is a holdout by Josh Giddey. But it was something that Sam Vecenie kind of threw out. It is what it is. It's not, you know, anything that he's reporting on or saying that he's heard, or he's saying that a possibility that Josh Giddey and his agent have talked about or even threatened the Bulls with. But it is something that is there, and it's something that you don't see a lot in the NBA. You don't see a lot of contract holdouts because of just how restrictive it is. It's even more restrictive than free agency. So, and keep in mind, I want everybody to know this. If Josh Giddey were to try to do this, and for some reason, if it did go the length of the season, he still would be a restricted free agent next year too, so we could do all this over again. So, you know, and again, it's not going to get to that place. That's just me talking about each of the possibilities. But I just felt like, with me saying several times over this offseason that we've basically talked about just about every scenario and possible outcome for this Josh Giddey situation, that was one, guess what, that we didn't talk about. We never talked about holding out because it just happens so rarely in the NBA. So let me know what you guys think on that down below. The chance that Josh Giddey could do a contract holdout on the Chicago Bulls this year, and how would that make you feel about the scenario, the situation that we're in, both my Josh Giddey stands and my Josh Giddey haters. Again, people on the opposite sides of the spectrum. There's also people in the middle that are just Josh Giddey fans, and there are people in the middle that are like, hey, Josh Giddey's cool, but like it is what it is. So we'll see. I'm glad that Josh Giddey's working on his game throughout all of this. I'm glad that he's not allowing it to stop him from or distract him from his offseason program. This is him trying to have a big, come back in a major way and show that how he finished the season is who Josh Giddey can be for the entirety of the year. There's still things that I'm sure he wants to prove. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. Josh Giddey, big point guard, has a lot ahead of him, and we shall see. Now, I want to moving on from that. I want to talk about Coby White. I want to talk about Ayo Dosunmu. And the reason why I want to talk about these guys, I did a recent episode, you know, in which we were talking about the thing that each young player can improve on for the Chicago Bulls. And Ayo and Coby are both in interesting scenarios. I've talked a lot about, like, one thing that I want to see Coby White do, that's draw more fouls. I think that, you know, and he's in a position to draw fouls because anybody who's watched Coby White's game has seen and probably gotten frustrated about how much he drives to the lane and does that pass out thing, whereas he can just take it up, try to draw a foul, and maybe get to the free throw line, right? So that's one of the things, of course, inconsistency with Coby White's game. You know, I want to see that from Coby. He was a lot more consistent last year and shored up a lot of those parts and aspects of his game. And shout out to Coby for doing that. I think that we're going to see a continuation of that. Coby's coming into the season as the number one scoring option with, you know, we'll see what he does to refine his game. Ayo has been kind of the odd man out in the sense that because of what everybody's looking at, what Josh Giddey's going through in free agency now, what Coby White reportedly can go, and he wants over $30 million in free agency next year. That Ayo being the guy that, you know, is kind of there, the middle child in a way, shout out to J. Cole, it has a lot that he can prove too. And, you know, even when we talked about Ayo Dosunmu potentially being the Bulls starting three, or maybe he's the closing three, which is perfectly fine at that point in time. I think the closing lineup sometimes is more important than who starts for you. And I do think that as things stand right now, Ayo has a great chance to be part of any closing lineup for the Chicago Bulls. And when you look at Ayo's last two seasons as a starter, that's what I want to go to and want to focus on, not to eliminate the questions about his game. Like, his shooting was very inconsistent last year, even though as a starter, it was pretty good. He has to show that consistency. But for example, you look at last year for Ayo Dosunmu as a starter, 2024-25, he started 26 games, in that he shot 52% from the field and 36% from three, taking 4.5 three-pointers per game. He also averaged 3.3 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.3 steals, and 14 points per game as a starter in 2024-25. Let's flip that. Let's look at 2023-24. As a starter there, he started 37 games for the Chicago Bulls, so almost half the season, where he shot 50% from the field, 41% from three-point range, had 3.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists per game, 1.1 steals per game, and 15 points per game. That's basically consistent. Now, the turnovers in 2023-24, to basically 1.9, two turnovers per game. He got that down as a starter last year to 1.7. If Ayo Dosunmu can make those starting numbers his season, meaning that whether it is in the starting lineup or it's via him getting consistent starter level minutes to where he is then giving up that production, that's really good production off the bench. And we already know what Ayo Dosunmu can be as a scorer. He can be really good as a defender. He can be really good as a point of attack defender. I don't think he's reached the level that some people talk about him, like a lockdown defender. He's not that for everyone. There are some players that Ayo Dosunmu absolutely gives the business to, Trae Young being one of those guys, right? But Ayo Dosunmu, a good point of attack defender, solid in that area. The steals that he gets is important. The rebounding, especially with him being surrounded by other really good rebounders, is really good too. And so Ayo is a player that coming into this season, the one question that I have for Ayo, and a big one, especially for him going into unrestricted free agency at the end of the year, is can those starter level minutes in 2024-25, he averaged 32 minutes per game as a starter. In 2023-24, he averaged 36 minutes as a starter. Those minutes aren't going to be there. You're probably not going to get those minutes unless there's major injuries down the stretch of this season for the Chicago Bulls, which, I mean, there has been almost every year. So I guess if you want to bet on that, but I'm looking at Ayo around 28, 29 minutes per game, whether it's starting or coming off the bench, because I do think he can play with Coby. He can play with Josh Giddey. He can play in between both those guys at the three. We've seen it. You know, for a large part last year, all of the Bulls' best lineups included Ayo Dosunmu, every single. And that was with him playing three and sometimes four different positions in those lineups. Now, I think that you may not have to play him in that many positions because of the Bulls' depth at forward. And with that, hopefully comes him locking more into a role and settling more into a role. So if he doesn't have to play any four or he doesn't have to play any one and he's more focused at the two and the three, the wing position, if he's focused on that, if he gets to do that, I want to see with the consistency in playing those positions comes consistency in your output. And that's a huge question for Ayo that he has to answer this upcoming year. And so, you know, Io and Kobe's years are hugely important because they are unrestricted free agents next year. And whether that means that the Bulls are going to have to negotiate to get them, or the Bulls are going to have to bid to get them because other teams around the league do make offers for them, which I think is probably going to be with more teams having cap space, there's probably going to be more callers. And I've said this before, while the Bulls will have to wait if they want to be able to give them the money that reportedly they want, I do think Io probably would be willing to sign for less. But even with that said, he still is going to get more through unrestricted free agency, not to Kobe's levels, but he's probably going to get more than what he's eligible for in the 140% extension rule. So therefore, that exclusive negotiating period with your own free agents, where the season technically ends and they are, and you can give them the unrestricted free agent deal before they hit the open market, is going to be really important for the Bulls. And having big seasons from these guys eliminates the questions that the Bulls would have then on if they want to give those guys these deals. And, you know, surprisingly over this offseason, I've seen a lot more doubt for Io DeSumo than I have the previous offseasons. And I don't know if that says more about, you know, Io and his role, or, you know, the fact that Io did have a rough start to last season. And he was inconsistent, especially after the shoulder injury. And I don't know if that, like, left a sour taste in a lot of Bulls fans, some Bulls fans' mouths in regards to Io. But I still see Io as a player that definitely impacts the game, can impact it on both sides of the ball, especially with his transition passing and his ability to attack the rim. He attacks the rim a lot more than Kobe or Josh Giddey, for example. And I think he's more efficient in that. I haven't looked at the numbers there, so that may just be me going off a feeling than an actual fact. But Io is shaped up to have a big role for this Bulls team this year. And if he cannot, the Bulls do have a player in Isaac Okoro who may be willing to step up and show, hey, listen, I can do a lot of those things too. So, you know, we'll see that. I always think that competition sometimes breeds the best. It shows you really what you have in a player and in their mindset. And I guess we shall see what Io DeSumo has this year. But let me know what you guys think down below. When I know I said this and presented it as both Kobe and Io, talked a lot more about Io in this segment than I did Kobe White, mainly because I think I've talked a lot about Kobe. And I think we all kind of understand what position Kobe White is in this year to really show some of the things that we've seen flashes of from him over the years, but we haven't seen consistently. And Io, I think a lot of people have seen things from Io as well, but let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, the last thing that we want to talk about today, a lot of is made, of course, of players in the offseason and how they grow, how they change their game. What do they add to their game? What do they refine? But I think a lot of it also has to come to Billy Donovan and the coaching staff. Billy Donovan has to learn to manage games better. And I know Billy Donovan is a polarizing topic for Bulls fans because some Bulls fans feel like he's made the scapegoat for the Bulls problem, whereas more of the roster. Some Bulls fans look at it and say, well, Billy Donovan is lacked in these areas. I've talked a lot about that too. Like Billy Donovan in his plays that in drawing up plays in adjustments, that's on the coach. And sometimes in using players in the game plan to the best of their skill set, he has lacked that in certain areas. And that's where Billy Donovan has to be better at. And that's one of the things that is the point of when you return the majority of your roster. Part of that is that every year that goes by, you found out a tweak or a better way to use that player because you've become more familiar with their game, with their limitations, with where they can grow at, with their strengths. And that hasn't always been what Billy Donovan has done or managed the best. It hasn't always been that. And, you know, this coaching staff overall, not just Billy Donovan, Wes Unseld, Dan Craig, right? These guys, these are kind of, you're looking at your three main coaches for the Chicago Bulls. As far as Bryant as well, as a guy that he's one of the bigger assistants there as well, is that they have to take what they did last year, which is redefine an offensive play style. And for Wes Unseld, he tried to cook up the best defensive strategy that he could. But you have to take that now and refine that. You've gotten to see a lot of these players and how they fit into that. And now you should be able to see, especially with another training camp and your first training camp with like Kevin Huerter and Zach Collins and those guys and Trey Jones, your first training camp with those guys, you should be able to now figure out ways and better ways to get them in the positions that they need to be in to be better players. And so that is a test of Billy. I'm not expecting Billy Donovan to take this roster and all of a sudden make it a 50-win roster. No, I'm talking about the ins and outs of the game. As far as running more opportunities, because you've now learned that Kevin Huerter is a pretty damn good catch and shoot player. In a lot of ways, you can use Kevin Huerter in the same ways that you should have been using Zach LaVine over the last few years, where you didn't run many catch and shoot opportunities for Zach LaVine, despite Zach being one of the best catch and shoot players in the NBA. You just didn't run those opportunities for him. Those are the things that I'm looking at. The inbound play calls. How do you have this team locked in? How do you have them ready to go? Of course, you know, looking at a play can be drawn up really well, but if the players don't execute that play well, by design, the play is going to look like shit. But I think we've seen that just the stagnation, that almost every time, especially down the stretch of a fourth quarter game, you pretty much know what the Bulls are going to do, right? There was an exercise that I did last year in which it was like in a close game, let's say it was a game where the Bulls were down or maybe up by one or two, and you get to a fourth quarter possession, what play were the Bulls going to run out of inbounds? And more times than not, I guess pretty right on that one, right? And so now with me live calling this upcoming year, you guys are going to be able to see it. One thing I don't like when people do, especially people, is like, oh, I was right about this, but it wasn't documented. So I'm not going to toot my own horn on that. But I'll just say that I want to see more creativity from this Bulls team and how they use it. And the defensive scheme, because you don't have the rim protector that you need. You don't have the on-ball defenders that some other teams have. You have to be locked in and engaged and come up with a team defensive concept that locks you in. If you don't do that, it's going to be ugly for this Bulls team heading into the 2025-26 season. Jesus, is that where we're at already? So Billy Donovan and his coaching staff, I think they have to take their game up. We talk about refinement of your veterans, refinement of your coaching staff, and their better understanding of how to use and put players in situations and position is hugely important to that as well. And we'll see if the Bulls can do that in the season. I hope that they can. If they do, great. If they don't, you know, we're going to be here talking about it. But that's my time for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.